Where are your treasures?
Okay, I think we're gonna have a PowerPoint in Brother Bob's system this morning. And we want to kind of preface it, first of all, by saying that we're thankful for the Lord's overruling. We originally, though, had this, and I do say overruling, on this, because this is the way He wanted it. So I'm sure, at least I think He did. That's that's my opinion. Because this is the way it is. And we originally had planned to do this Friday night. There was a kind of a theme Friday night on trusting in the Lord. And I thought, well, you know, it's going to be Friday night. Everybody's going to be kind of tired. So, you know, I'll just have some kind of, you know, easy to think about. And so, but then as things turned out, it was rearranged, and that's fine. But this won't be, and I think there was an hour planned for Brother Tom today. Now, normally, I'm one to kind of push the limits of my time, and I need a little more time, you know. This time I have plenty of time, but I'm not sure I have enough material, so we might be ending early. So we'll leave it at that. But we thank the Lord for His providence in the matter. We do wish Brother Tom was here, though, because he, as all of you who listen to Brother Tom, he's one who can reach right out into your heart and touch it, and he speaks with such feeling, and his PowerPoints are the best. So mine won't come up to that, but it's the best I can do. Anyways, our title is "Where Are Your Treasures?" We like to start off by turning to Matthew 6, if you will. Our Master Jesus gave us many sobering thoughts on His Sermon of the Mount, or on the Mount, in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. Our discussion, though, focuses mainly on Matthew 6, and it's quite lengthy, so you might want to turn to that with us. Matthew 6, 19 to 34. "Lay not up yourselves for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Verse 23. "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to that one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather there into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." After reading these passages, we are left with some introspective questions. Namely, Where are our treasures as true disciples of Christ? And how will we obtain them? What is referred to as mammon? And how does this compete with the treasures up above? And how does faith or confidence in God and His promises relate to all of this? Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. No man can serve two masters. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Treasures in heaven. What are these, and how shall we obtain them? First of all, if we are truly desirous of having a full devoted consecration of sacrifice unto the Lord, we must prioritize our choices in life. Now, we cannot judge others in this respect, only ourselves. We must educate ourselves to the divine expectations of exchange to obtain the heavenly treasures and make choices within the context of those godly outlined expectations. The treasures are spiritual and branch out into both the present earthly life and the promised spiritual life if faithful. The present treasure blessings, like the Holy Spirit, are an earnest of the later spiritual blessings to those who win the prize. Ephesians 1:13 and 14 and Philippians 3:14. But the hopes, the aims, and ambitions of this world have to be sacrificed. Gather my saints together unto me, those who have made, what? A covenant by sacrifice. Psalms 50 verse 5. How much of this life and ourselves are we willing to sacrifice? Our time, our talents, our influence, and our means. How much of it actually goes to the Lord? Once we see the heavenly goal, and we are somewhat educated to the expectations of achievement, we set out on a journey of a Christian's quest to find and obtain the treasures hid in Christ. The process is somewhat simplified by what one brother called the LAP method. Now, I'm not sure I'm ahead of myself here. Let's see. Here we go. You learn the expectations by educating yourself in biblical study. That's the L on LAP. 2, you apply what you have learned by making your best personal choices in the application of that study and throughout your journey. And 3, you pray unto God. Let's see if I'm still getting used to how to do these PowerPoints, so apologize. You pray unto God for guidance and strength to be transformed more and more into the mind of Christ. But what are the present and future heavenly treasures? What are the competing treasures that tug on your heart affections of your old creature? You know, the old man that we are supposedly having to have buried. Let us address this in reverse order. Wealth, fame, power, influence, lands, social distinction, houses of pride, homes and earthly friends. These are some of the present earthly hopes, aims, and ambitions that we identify as earthly treasures. Jesus said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." But what is mammon? Generally, most of us probably think of worldly wealth when defining mammon. In ancient days, mammon was the name of an ancient Syrian god, the god of riches, of cupidity, the impersonation of worldliness. In a wider sense, we could say that it is really the selfish principle to obtain many earthly advantages and fleshly comforts. Perhaps you have noticed popular television evangelists telling their congregations with itching ears how God wants them to have earthly riches and advantages in this life. The word sacrifice never seems to come up for some reason. Many people in the world seem to almost worship worldly wealth, money, and dedicate their whole lives to the pursuit of obtaining as much as they can. In a way, is it not an idol to them? Paul states to Timothy that a similar attitude can even creep into the brotherhood in 2 Timothy 6, verse 9. But they that be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. A new creature should never give God the impression that they covet or love money. Many in the world do worship the golden calf, but it should not come within the true Christian's heart affections. The result and effect would be spiritually crippling. As Paul states, the love of money is one of Satan's greatest traps. Others in the world are motivated by fame or power over others, as in the workplace or the political arena. Some treasure their large landholdings or pride themselves in their ostentatious houses. Still others treasure their earthly relationships, their earthly friendships, that they are even willing to compromise their principles or standards to better blend into the friends that they love so very much. Their friends mean everything to them. In fact, even more than the fellowship and respect of the God of their faith. Families, which make up the home, are wonderful and treacherous. However, not when the love of these families, these family members, is greater than the love of Jesus himself. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Do any of us crave the aforementioned earthly treasures more than we do spiritual treasures that God has offered? Time and circumstances will demonstrate our heart's true desires and loyalty to the Lord. How transitory in nature are these earthly treasures? Many are elusive bubbles that can vanish away overnight. Friends can turn quickly away from you, even become your enemies under stressful circumstances or misunderstandings. Have you ever experienced a good friend leaving your fellowship over several words of misunderstanding or a difference in your religion? Public sentiment is fickle, and anyone famous knows how your good reputation can come to a screeching halt by one unpopular mistake or incident. How unsubstantial, without substance, are these treasures of the earth? You could lose your home overnight in a flood or fire, or have a foreclosure on your dream home because of unavoidably depressing circumstances. How many are experiencing this in today's financial lending situation? Wealth, fame, earthly relationships, and dreams only yield a slight or temporary satisfaction, and often disappointment or a broken heart results from unrealized expectations. The beautiful cars we once drove in pride eventually rusted over the years or fell apart in mechanical dysfunction. The beautiful new dress or suit eventually became moth-eaten or shabby-looking with broken buttons. John 16:33. Now let us look at what the heavenly or spiritual treasures are in the present and await for us in the future. These are treasures that are quite substantial and with great and lasting longevity. First, we presently treasure God's incredible love for us and a special fellowship and divine supervision that he has given to us, the consecrated. Jesus said, "The Father himself loveth you." Next, there is this special treasure of our beloved Master Jesus, the high priest of our profession, who ministers unto the church as the great advocate, our great advocate, 1 John 2, verse 1. His special care as our elder brother, his special fellowship, the fairest amongst 10,000, is our personal treasure of love. He is the bishop of our souls and the light of our life. These two, God and Jesus, are our choicest treasures. Then there is the very special treasure chest of divine promises. Let's take a few minutes to review these precious promises that surround us as the feathers of a huge eagle over its eaglets. Romans 8:28, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And I learned yesterday this might have a more general application too, as far as the world ultimately. Remember the scripture that says the wrath of man shall praise God? Ultimately, all men will learn the beauty of this treacherous truth, will they not? That all things really have worked together for good to them as well, just in another sense as the creation of God. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. Then there is another scripture. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. In Psalms 34:15. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. This is one of the ones that I usually sign into manas or on obituaries or notes to brethren who have lost somebody. Because why? He trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3. We have another one in Isaiah 43:2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Yes, we have this treasure chest, brethren, of God's promises, to lift up our hands and our weary feet, to transport us to our heavenly home. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, in other words, having faith in these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We also presently experience many treasures, jewels, in the brotherhood of Christ. In this life, it is pretty scarce to find even one person that would lay down their life for you. It is difficult to find a person who does things for you and treats you kindly without any vested interest or expected benefit. However, with the present inheritance of the saints, we have multitudes of fellow soldiers of the cross who would take you in like you were their own family, shelter, clothe, and feed you. These dear Christian brothers and sisters would do everything and anything for you that they possibly could, and will lay down their very lives for you if they felt the Lord wanted them to. This is an unselfish network of brethren who support you with caring and loving sentiments, knowing that you could very well be their friends for eternity. They realize that when they have done some service for you, they've done it for their master also. How many dear ones right here amongst us sacrifice their energy, their time and talents, their personal money, their mental and physical energies to help the brethren in some small or large way? Now let us address the future treasures that lay in store for those who are faithful unto death. This is more or less of a deferred gratification plan of spiritual happiness that lies in wait for us on the other side of the veil. Let us start with the joy set before us. Remember in Hebrews 12:2, where it states, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising or disregarding the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What was the joy that was set before him? Surely our Master looked forward to his reward of the divine nature, as do we in 2 Peter 1:4. How we yearn to graduate into the intimate family of the heavenly courts, not only free from the pain of fleshly sorrows, but with a body that has life in itself, as both a Father and his Son. John 5:26 and 1 John 3:2. Our Master undoubtedly considered the joy of anticipation, the joy of anticipation of becoming the head of the new creation, the 144,000, the second Adam, that will, with his heavenly bride, lift up and restore the groaning and travailing world of mankind to human perfection, And how great is that present condition of suffering? The injustice of man's inhumanity to man, the criminal activity, the broken homes with children left crying in emotional pain, the wars and bloodshed in the streets. Jesus looked with joyful anticipation at the hope of the kingdom blessings for man. So too, this is our joy of anticipation, to be joint heirs with Christ as the second Eve, assisting our heavenly bridegroom as part of the Abrahamic seed that will bless all the families of the earth, helping in the process of removing all the tears, sorrow, and crying, pain, and death that plagues mankind because of sin and Satan. Revelation 21:4. Truly this joy set before us, this promise of faithfulness, is an anticipatory treasure to all who can appreciate it. These are promises that have genuine substance, backed by the Word of God Himself, contained in the Holy Scriptures. So, how does faith and trust relate to the path of a Christian trying to set their affection on things above? Jesus asked us to consider the lilies of the field in Matthew 6:26. Are they worried about growing or what people will say about them? No. Jesus directed us to not be worried or burdened with anxious thoughts that would weigh us down and cripple our efforts of service and sacrifice in the narrow way. He directs our minds to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, set our spiritual priorities before us, and not be worried about the necessities of a spiritual or earthly kind that would weigh our hearts down. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Does that mean that we should not be concerned about making provisions for the needs of ourselves, our wives, and our families? No. We have concerns about such matters, and we should properly make appropriate provision for those with whom we have responsibilities. However, there is a difference between concern and worry. It is all about degrees of believing, and faith is the grave of worry. How strong is your faith? How strong is mine? If we believe Jesus and the promises of God, then in proportion we are assured that the Heavenly Father will so supervise our affairs that all these matters will be taken care of if we simply make reasonable efforts of doing our personal best in the issues of life. We are encouraged to be fully content and look up to God in faith as the tiny sparrow looks up to heaven with each sip of water. The lily has a simple confidence in God's provisions and leaves the growing to God's will. A wise man once said that he that is fully buried in the will of God can know no disappointment. Our goal should be to rely in sweet submission to the will of God in our lives, and strive to be content that He that numbers the very hairs of our heads is fully able to work all things for our greatest spiritual good. Like our Master, nothing can happen to us without God's approval. John 19:11. Two of the most serious foes of the human family are fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety can cripple the human soul, both physically and mentally. Someone once said that worry is the interest paid on trouble before it begins. How true. Christ attempts to free us from this. The caring Apostle Paul assures us that of this also in Philippians 4, verse 6. Be not anxious about anything, but in everything let your petitions be made known to God. In other words, don't be burdened down. Don't be overly concerned about these things. Concern is okay, but not be overly burdened with these things. But in everything let your petitions be made known to God by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And what will be the result of their action? And that peace of God, which surpasses all conception, shall guard your hearts and your minds by Christ Jesus. Many people know the outward peace that comes when you have plenty of money in your bank and your bills are all paid, When your health is good and your earthly affairs are all in a happy place from the human perspective. But the real overcomers, those developing the Abrahamic faith required of true sonship in the body of Christ, must learn, as the Apostle Paul declared, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Philippians 4:11. Was he not singing hymns of praise and prayer while hanging in the stocks? Acts 16:24. This is true overcoming. This takes a transformation of mind that redefines happiness in the dictionary of the saints. It is a happiness of submission of the will to God's expectations for the requirements of sonship and contentment in a feeling of trusting compliance. Again, he that is buried in the Lord's will through faith can know no disappointment. This should be a goal. Displace your fears and anxious worries by frequent prayers and recalling the precious promises, your treasures, hid in Christ. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Cite these over and over to yourselves, reaffirming these scriptural promises. Sing the hymns. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Trust in God, and claiming his exceeding great and precious promises, is our means of transportation to our heavenly home. 2 Peter 1:4. So where are our treasures? Where are they? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and not treasures on earth. For where your heart is, there will your treasures be also. I'd like to read to you a poem that was written called Heavenly Aspirations. If only I can truly prove worthy in this narrow way of Christian life, to make my calling and election sure, and to end this continual strife. The program he's developed for me to transform my mind and heart will bring in me a newness of life, a spiritual existence to embark. Infusion with his holy word, in my mind a seed implanted, exchanged my mental paradigm, a perception not recanted. Gestation of spiritual life within, subjected to fleshly contrition, resolute to mortify the Goliath of sin and fulfill my Christian commission. Imagine the overwhelming gratitude to cohabitate in his heavenly presence, to see him face to face with Christ, transformed into our Master's essence. How trivial the cumbersome cares of life with the mortgages of remuneration when transferred to the heavenly realm of lights, forever proclaimed his new creation. A white stone with my name inscribed will be one forevermore, proclaiming his majesty throughout the worlds with friends on eternity's shore. For where your heart is, there will your treasures be also. May the Lord add his blessing.